We finish off Shinpei Hayashiya's Raiga series, with a late addition to the trilogy coming out just in time to capitalize off of Legendary's Godzilla sequel. Will this irreverent small-budget Japanese production be able to compete, and can it raise the score of the other two films which came out a decade prior? Find out along with us as we dive into the depths of this deep-sea monster. This is Kaiju vs. History, God Raiga vs. King Oka, War of the Monsters. Welcome back to Kaiju versus History. This is your eye-patched, wielding, kaiju-collecting commander, Patrick, here. And joining me is several stock special effects explosions layered on top of one another. Miles. Hey, Miles. How are you?
What's up, buddy?
God Raiga versus King Oga, War of the Monsters. What an epic title. You know, like, you go to the DVD section, or you see a poster. The poster for this and the SRS release are great. It is an epic looking film on paper.
So long as you don't have the knowledge of either prior film.
If you haven't been keeping up with the trilogy. Yeah, so this is the...
I feel like trilogy should have, like, I mean, it is in the sense that there is some sort of continuity here, obviously, but I still feel like trilogy should have, like, sarcastic quotation marks around it.
No, well, I mean, there's a very literal...
There's three films, I understand that.
Well, there's a literal connection in that, like, there's a lot of reused special effects in this movie.
That opening is basically like, we're going to sum up the first two films because we know you haven't seen them.
It's about a 5-minute recap, and it's like, oh, well, that's not too bad. But in a movie that the runtime is 84 minutes, and in reality, like, sub... credits and the post-credit sequence, it's closer to like 78 minutes probably. you know, that's a pretty short movie. That's, you know,
it somehow doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But yeah, God Raiga versus King Oga. To be honest, I was actually kind of excited about this one after the previous movie, which of course is, well, first we had Raigo, King of the Sea Monsters, the original film, which was a period piece. And it's just a movie I did not know anything about. And that was followed a year later by Raiga, God of the Monsters, which is just absolutely ridiculous. And then that preceded, I don't know what Shinpei Hayashiya was doing in the meantime exactly, but it would be 10 years before this movie came out, and was really spurred on by, well, to finish it, because it was actually filmed about 4 years prior, at least some of the footage 4 years prior, by this Godzilla King of the Monsters movie coming out, and perhaps having something kind of in the market in and around the same time. But had you heard about this film when it came out, or thereabouts, Miles?
I do remember probably around the time that SRS was probably, you know, in talks to pick it up. Like, I remember seeing the name pop up because prior to doing this podcast, you know, obviously I would keep up with the biggins. But I mean, one thing that I think we should, you know, kind of keep talking about, especially is with kind of the beginning of the time that, you know, kind of starts with Cloverfield, where it kind of really starts to kick off the American interest in kaiju films, along with, you know, that decade. Also, we're beginning to get all these films that we didn't either get theatrical films or we didn't have solid releases. We're getting them in a wider release. Streaming services are popping up. Movies are being shared online more than ever. And so there you get to see this bubbling kaiju fandom kind of start to rise a lot more, especially coming in full force once, you know, Godzilla's back on the scene with both the Legendary and when the Japanese brought him back in Shin Godzilla. So, you know, I think people are now kind of always on the lookout for something like that. You know, we had Pacific Rim, we had, you know, Colossus. So we continue to have all these things in the consciousness, whether or not these movies are good, whether or not they're successful, people are interested in kaiju films. And so I do remember seeing this. I remember seeing all of these titles. I think there was one, I don't know if we've done it yet. I'm trying to remember what the actual title is, because I remember there was a, it might have been one of his movies, but I think it was called like Howl of the Something. And It's got this kind of painted dragon cover. I remember seeing it on Amazon. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't believe so, no.
It might be one of the Raiga movies, because I remember seeing that on Amazon at some point. But there was one. It's the short film. I mean, it might be 60. Oh, no, it's called Howl from Beyond the Fog.
Oh, yes. Howl. Sorry. That is indeed on our list. It is very much a short film. It's like 30 minutes.
Yeah, but I remember seeing the painted poster on Amazon a lot, because I would all of a sudden go on, because I don't know if it was always streaming. So I would go on these rabbit holes where I was looking for other kaiju movies that I may not have come across. And I do absolutely remember seeing Raigo and Raiga several times. I don't think I came across this specific picture, but I do remember becoming aware of it when I was kind of scrolling through SRS Cinema's website at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Yeah, I feel like I had heard of, maybe through some reviews, the first or second film, but this one skipped me over because it was so kind of late in the production of when this came out versus like when it was happening. But, and it, you know, had a much smaller release with just the 2020 SRS Cinema's DVD Blu-ray release. So I don't think I had heard about it, and I don't know if at the time there were many ways to watch it. I think it's on, what, did you watch this on Tubi? I feel like there's a few ways to watch it now.
Yeah, I might have watched this one on YouTube.
I did, yes.
I just didn't feel like scrolling, like with a movie like this, or I know I'm already kind of at a certain level of a movie. I'm like, I don't want commercials either.
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel like I kind of used some commercials to break up some of what was going on here. But yeah, you can find this on Tubi, which is interesting enough. There's just, Tubi's become like the place for crazy guys. Like,
as a connoisseur of found footage horror movies, Tubi got you covered.
I will say the Tubi version, because I have watched a little bit of both, is great. I feel like it is taken from the Blu-ray cut of the film.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder if I sacrificed. I mean, my quality looked good, but there were some things that were muddied, and I didn't know if that was the movie, or which I think it is.
It is, and isn't.
My picture quality with humans was crystal clear. So I feel like the things that I was complaining about is the actual movie. And does the Tubi cut drop the C-bomb like the one on YouTube did?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yes.
But you said that to me, and I was like, I was going to bring that up, too, because I clocked that. I was like, whoa!
Yeah, Kida hates the women in Tokyo. Just
women in general, I think.
Love Kida so much, but my goodness. That one caught me off guard.
Yeah, this obviously is the 2019 film that was, I want to make sure I get all this right, written, directed, produced, cinematographied, edited, production designed, and directed of special effects by Shinpei Hayashiya. Like, a one-man show here. He did basically everything except the music, and he did have some co-cinematographers and co-producer.
Oh boy, the music in this movie.
I don't think that music was produced by anybody, to be perfectly honest.
I think it was produced by a
circus?
A CD of like free stock music that you can use for films.
It's the same complaint I have. It sounds like that Canadian stock music that was used in like kids productions in the mid to early 90s, like Are You Afraid of the Dark and stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
And also used in some low budget pictures, like often done by Full Moon in some of their lesser known works.
Yeah. I will give this a recommendation on Tubi, which I'm just comparing them right now, and it is much clearer. I think it is taken from like the Blu-ray kind of version that SRS put out. Interestingly enough, both of them, and I'm guessing this is just all English versions of the film, have full, not just subtitles, but audio descriptions for every sound effect in the movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, not how I would watch the film normally, but it does give a little bit of a amusement to, you know, like even just like a graphic of like blood on the screen. It'll be like blood hit.
Oh, I know. I noticed that as well. So, I guess before we get any further into this movie, Patrick, tell us, what is in a title?
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah. So I think the original or just the full Japanese title is Reiga versus Oga, and that translates to Shinkaiju Reigu Tai Yoganju Oga. So I think new Kaiju Reiga versus the, I think maybe Yoganju is like closer to like olden monster, perhaps, if Shin Kaiju is Reiga. I think part of the deal with SRS was to give this a subtitle that was closer to Godzilla King of the Monsters, which obviously is coming out in the same year, and maybe bring up the kind of king versus god fight that could have been happening in that movie between Godzilla and King Ghidorah. But that is not something really did in the marketing for that film, but they will probably do with King Kong at some point. What's it got?
They also, I mean, keep in mind, it was announced, and we'll probably talk, maybe might take a little bit of that next week or the week after, whenever it happens. But Legendary had put out rolled out a plan that, like, hey, we're doing this, then Godzilla versus Kong. And I think some things got reworked. Yeah, no, they did at one point say Godzilla versus Kong was supposed to be the end game initially.
I feel like they only had rights for Godzilla for the 2019 film, and then they expanded.
They had said that Godzilla versus Kong was kind of supposed to be the end game, and then COVID happened, and then Godzilla versus Kong got all that positive press for bringing people back to the movies, and I guess they struck a deal with Toho. Was like, hey, you make your movies, we'll make ours, because they're making yet another Godzilla Kong sequel. And obviously Minus One happened, was an international darling, and is getting a sequel as well. I think studios are now have recognized, we don't care. Like, for years, we were told, like, oh, you can't have Batman on TV and Batman and people confuse people. Now they know, we don't care.
Well, I kind of
give us everything.
I kind of want to thank DC Comics a little bit for that, because in the last, you know, 5 years, we've had like the multiverse DC movies, we've had the Joker movie, we've had like a standalone Batman, and they've all done very well to, you know, okay in their presentation
bombing to in the case of Joker 2.
Their reception. Well, I was talking about the first Joker mostly, but yeah. Did that come out in the last 5 years? Was that 2019?
I believe so.
6 years then. But I think so. And I think James Gunn is going to continue that a little bit in having a whatever is good can make it to the silver screen. And you know what? I think it's crazy, but we're at a point where we could have a Godzilla Minus One sequel and a Godzilla versus Kong sequel in the theaters.
We will
in the same year, and it'll be fine. You know,
You know what though?
And they might actually play off one another.
I feel like the Godzilla Minus One sequel might come out before Godzilla Kong.
Oh yeah, that's very possible. Like the speed at which they can make them.
I feel like that team works a lot faster than these, you know, lumbering American special effects companies can handle.
Well, yeah, interestingly enough, we just got the news that they started filming for the next Godzilla v. Kong movie in this last week. But yeah, let me finish talking about this movie.
No.
Which
Let's talk about good movies, Patrick.
Deep Sea Monster Reiga versus Lava Beast Oga is another translation for a title. And
I like that better, actually.
Yeah, yeah, it's quite good. But yeah, Rega versus Oga, The War of the Monsters is translation from the updated title. And as I said over here in our intro, the filming for this movie took place many, many years ago. The first trailer was uploaded to Shinpei Hayashiya's YouTube channel in June of 2015, which probably means it was shot in 2014. So a full right. like 5 years before. And there's also in Kita's base, there's a poster for the Atami Sea Fireworks Festival that was in the movie, I believe, that puts it, that clocks it in 2014. So I'm wondering if they were like trying to advertise for that as well. Like a little late. The movie came out 9 years or sorry, 5 years later, which is pretty funny. But yeah, so this is a little bit of a time capsule, and I think it does affect a few things, because I want to say, I gotta believe that they went back and tried to film more, perhaps do some more special effects in the production. Let's talk about the movie. We do have a brand new kaiju to talk about in the series. I think that was one of the things holding back Raiga a little bit, was not having an opponent. Little disappointed yes. with the opponent myself, but
I'm disappointed with a lot of the kaiju action in this movie. And again, action should have sarcastic quotation marks around it. So here's the thing is, I will give this to, sorry, I'm just jumbling my thoughts.
Shinpei.
I will absolutely give it to Shinpei Hayashiya that, like, he clearly loves what he's doing. He clearly loves kaiju mm-hmm. movies and loves making these kind of humorous takes on them, but like the fine needle that you have to thread to make this thing work the way that it needs to, I just don't think he's got it. I'm pretty sure I've said something to that effect in almost all of them. Like, I wish this was like a Zucker comedy. And for those who don't know what I'm talking about, the Zucker brothers who did, like, you know, the Naked Gun, Airplane, this is the vibe that this movie's going for, is that kind of vaguely self-aware, but just very funny kind of comedy using kaiju. And I mean, and the callbacks, I mean, obviously we have your Godzilla and your King Kong, but we even get like callbacks to Gappa, you know?
Oh yeah.
And I think it's an Ultraman or Ultra 7 reference, but I just, there are, like, I think you said it best, on paper, this movie absolutely works. And then it absolutely does not in execution. for me. I do like this idea that, like, okay, it's been peaceful since the last Raiga attack, and our old boy Commander Kido has been kind of put aside to a area where they don't think anything's ever going to happen, which
hilarious.
It's very funny because he's got this base. He's still very militant in his attention to things, but he's basically got two real kind of subordinates / companions who fully believe in his cause, but at the same time are just, I think, detached enough from the job to, like, they're somewhat normal. Whereas this is everything that Kido talks about.
Miyazaki, which is hilarious, that's his name, the male subordinate, and then Nakagawa, who is played by Anko Hayashiya, which I was having difficulty confirming, but I think it's Shinpei's sister.
Oh, that's funny.
Or daughter. I'm having difficulty with the translation on Japanese Wikipedia. It's one of the two, and I think it's daughter.
I would think daughter.
Yeah,
I know she at least pops up in his next joint that I'm sure yes. we're gonna be watching.
Oh, you know it, Miles. We're not getting away with Shinpei Hayashiya. He's gonna be making films till he dies.
I know. But just
yes. Yeah.
Kawasaki, so this guy is not.
It's a family. I was actually looking into it. His wife is like a classically trained Japanese artist, and then I just find it funny that Shinpei is making these got you movies with toy trains.
Mean, it's like finding out, like, you know, Andy Samberg is married to Joanna. Oh, gosh, is it Newsom?
Yeah.
The harp player.
I was about to say a classical trained musician.
That's yes, across like obviously Andy Samberg is a little, yeah, Joanna Newsom a little more accomplished, but like their output is very different.
But so pretty cool artistic family.
I like that setup outside of the whole like, hey, we're gonna recap the, which honestly is not the worst idea, because unless you are a massive kaiju fan who has followed these movies, or, mm-hmm. you know, we're watching kaiju movies in chronological order like us boneheads, then you may have completely forgotten what happened in those very forgettable first two movies. And this movie is only happy to tell you in about 7 minutes of its like 80-minute runtime.
Yeah, we did Reiga, God of the Monsters last year in September. So when we're recording this, it's been about a half a year somewhere in there, probably a little bit longer since we watched that movie. So I did forget a good deal about that movie, and I'm kind of missing it now.
I strangely did not, and I was kind of mad about it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, so here's the thing, and again, I think describing it makes it sound funnier than it is, and that's I cannot stress enough, this movie is not as funny as it sounds.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like there's kind of like a dry Japanese sense of humor that is not for Western audiences.
I do not care. I like dry movies. I've watched a lot of Japanese comedy. I am not giving it a pass on this.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, I think it could be better for Japanese audiences, but I mean, obviously we're not Japanese audience. So that being said,
no, I'm just saying,
Oofa doofa, there is a lot to not like in this movie.
Yeah. So the introduction happens pretty quickly, though.
So new monster shows up, and then Reiga kind of shows up to fight it, and they have, I mean, it's so hard to tell what's going on in some of these battles, but they have three battles.
It really, really is.
Throughout the film. And I will say that they are kind of, I guess I don't really know the area super well, but they're all around Tokyo. Our main character is in Atami Castle, which I believe is a recreation. Yeah, it's a replica of a castle that was destroyed and has been in a few kaiju movies before. Obviously, King Kong versus Godzilla is the main one. And it was also in Gappa, which is probably why they mentioned that movie. And then there's like a subterranean battle about halfway through the film, which is actually pretty interesting in the fact that it introduces there's actually a couple of like special military vehicles, which I did enjoy in the film, that the underground kind of excavator vehicle is the Gokume 2.
Yeah.
There's also the amphibious combat vehicle towards the end, which is like a shark toy or shark car.
Yeah. And there's the octopus, which looks completely ridiculous.
It's like
we get some real ones,
some
too. We get
wires.
like an Osprey. And yep,
some tanks that
were howitzers and stuff,
straight up radio controlled toys, probably. Yeah, I was really disappointed because I feel like when I previewed this movie, I thought there was a live action suit for Oga, but there wasn't. Right? Am I crazy? Mouth? It's just
I don't think there was a toy. Yeah, and so I know that's part of the comedy, because we also get these. Some people will find this funny. I absolutely did not. You have these kind of underground base government asides that are a bunch of action figures spouting dialogue that is supposed to be basically done by characters. And this is a way to like basically save all this money, is they made a diorama. They had action figures, and it's not even like robot chicken style. It is a picture, a still frame of action figures like being shot. And then
I don't think it's a still frame, but I think it is a static shot, because they're not moving.
Oh, no, it's
they're
a
not
still
puppeting
frame.
The figures at all.
It's a still frame.
I got to go back. I It's my least favorite part of the film.
Like they do shoot other shots, but they're all still frames. This is not like stop motion. And I found that just completely unforgivable. Well, I didn't find it funny. I didn't find it interesting.
They also don't have, well, no, in some of them there is like flashing lights and stuff. So they're not definitely all still frames. But they're like G.I. Joes.
They're not moving.
And they only have subtitles. There's not voice actors reading their lines, which is, you know, disappointing to say the least. I feel like that is stuff that was maybe added in afterwards, perhaps to pad things out and kind of explain what was happening. But I will say it is very endearing, the toy Shinkansen, the toy, you know, bullet train, the toy tanks and stuff that I enjoy, but I could not get on board with the not voice acted toys. And I think part of it is like they wanted, Shinpei Yoshio wanted English speaking actors maybe for those parts. Cause,
well, they should have had some of the English speaking actors they had.
A good five or six English speaking actors. Mark Jeremio, David Hall played Blues Brothers looking CIA agents.
I wrote the exact same note. I was like, these are not CIA agents. This is the Blues Brothers in Japan.
They look like CIA agents from a 1960s film. You know,
they absolutely don't. They look like the Blues Brothers. Okay. 100%. One even has the hat.
I was about to say he does have the hat. They die about halfway through the film, and I was like, well, what were they here for? You know?
I asked that about many scenes. I do like, so the one that conceits is that the Japanese government, as we find out in a shot with the prime minister that was clearly filmed in the smallest office they could afford.
Well, I think they're all in the same room. It's just dressed a little differently.
Yeah. But I love this bit where the Japanese prime minister like knows that if this small town outside of Tokyo gets leveled, he can build a casino and basically have the construction companies that he owns like do all of the rebuilding, and they will make all this money. And one of my favorite part of the movie is his laughter afterwards, because he laughs like Burgess Meredith's penguin, and it's legitimately the funniest thing in the movie.
Yeah, I also enjoyed hit the prime minister's right hand man.
Yes,
he was very good. And to be honest, Makoto Inamiya, who played Commander Kito, was also very good in this movie. And I enjoyed his costume. It's very ridiculous, kind of almost cosplay like soldier costume. I enjoyed it a great deal. I don't know why. Why are there so many skulls in this movie, Miles? Why are there faceplates? Multiple characters have a skull phone, which, while very metal, very cool looking, is a little confusing. I think the prime minister had one too, right?
Like, because it feels very 1960s Batman, and it does feel like the manga exclusive character, is it Dr. Death or Mr. Death?
Yeah.
That mask looks very much like that character, which at one point was a Japanese exclusive character. I'm kind of curious. I'm like, maybe that's what they're referring to. I don't know. Because it's like, they're Batman style secret phones. And I couldn't imagine anything else. But yeah, I mean, I know we haven't gone. I mean, that's basically the plot of the movie, is like the Japanese government is kind of letting things kind of go because they want to, you know, redevelop this small town. The actual guy who fought in the previous movie, he wants to take down the kaiju. And so do other defense forces who are run by various what can only be described as goobers.
A colorful cast, Kyle.
And again, like I hate that I'm describing things. So, like, again, on paper, this sounds awesome. This sounds so funny. It's really, really not. And I can't stress it enough.
Yeah, it was a hard watch for sure. And
did you have a favorite part?
Favorite part. I mean, honestly.
Yeah. So you usually shoot this question at me, and I have to stumble through just, like, a movie like this.
Well, almost every single kaiju movie that we've been through, the best parts of the movie are these kaiju battles or these special effects, the tokusatsu that they have. Every single time the kaiju came on screen, I was wanting to fast forward until it gets back to Commander Keita or some like character.
I speaking. Fully agree. Every time the kaiju, I felt so bad. Every time the kaiju were on screen, I checked out. Every time Keita was on screen, I kind of popped back in. Like, it, honestly, this entire movie feels like it's a side quest from one of the Like a Dragon / Yakuza games.
Yeah.
Like, it's got that energy, but it does not have that execution. Like, I could absolutely see this being done in one of the Like a Dragon games to perfection. Mm-hmm. And I would absolutely love it. But yeah, I just... And I want to support these indie guys so much, but like, look.
Well, I have the trilogy on Blu-ray, so I've supported them materially enough.
I mean, but yeah, you've done more than you probably should have. But like, if you said that about if you said that about Minoru Kawasaki's movies, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, look, I was not a believer in Monster X Strikes Back. I was not super into that one. Oh, but so Outer good. Man and Kaiju Mono. Nah. So fun. So fun.
Yeah. We will be getting more kind of Japanese films of this similar ilk over the next season, the 2020s, which I'm excited about. And as you mentioned, we'll spoil it a little bit. One more film so far, kaiju film by Shinpei Hayashiya. This movie really does feel like the previous two films. It's not just because there's a lot of footage reused. There's some actors that return. But production-wise, yeah, the scale of this seems to have been a little rushed, even though this movie apparently took 5 years at the very least to make.
Boy.
I'm really hoping that the next film is a little better by Shinpei Hayashiya. Let's get to the review. Miles, where do you place this as your personal enjoyment? How did you like this film?
So here's the thing. I didn't. But at the same time, I mean, there is some intrinsic entertainment value within it. Mm-hmm. So I landed kind of at a 5 out of 10. Like, it's not quite baseline good, but like there's a lot of heart in this movie. Like, mm-hmm. It's in the right place. I do believe that. But whether it's just, you know, ability or money or whatever it is that is lacking in his movies, it's still lacking here. But I don't feel like these movies are doing anything out of not malice, but like there's a clear love for the kaiju genre here. And there's a clear love of like wanting to like take the piss out of it, but also in a way that's still kind of a love letter. I just don't think it's very good. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like I think of other stuff I've given lower than a 5, and I'm like, this movie doesn't really sit with them. I personally, like, if this was on, I would probably look to see what else is on first, but like if it was like whatever time of day, like especially if it's late at night and it's just on, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm never going to be in a situation where this movie is just on somewhere, so I don't have to worry about that. But yeah, I don't love it. I don't hate it. I think I don't hate it more than I don't love it. So it's going to sit there right at number 5 for me. What about you?
Yeah, I think I got to go there as well. I was thinking about a 4 out of 10, but I'm looking and that's pretty much reserved at this point for a lot of the Asylum films. And I will say this is at least more interesting visually, story-wise.
I would rather watch something like this any day that has a clear love of the stuff it's doing than something that feels so soulless as a lot of the Asylum movies tend to feel.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There's definitely a sense of love here that I, as a kaiju fan, can really much, very much enjoy from Shinpei Hayashiya, but I had a hard time watching this, hard time finishing it, and I don't feel like I felt the same way for the previous two movies in the quote-unquote trilogy, and I was trying to think of why that was, and it's just, there's parts of it that are visually hard to watch, there's parts of it that story-wise are a little difficult. But I think that will lead more into my technical score for the film, which I'm going to dock it a little bit more. And on our kind of rating scale, a 4 for its technical is mediocre and uninteresting. I think that kind of describes this. I don't know if I want to go down to a 3, which is notably flawed and frustrating, but at the very least, the technical aspect of the film is what is holding back a lot of my personal enjoyment. And I don't think it's like a money thing. I think it's just like how overproduced some parts are and how much could have been cut from this to make, say, a very good 60-minute movie, or a good, not very good, but a good 60-minute kind of production. Just like where they focused their time on some of the storytelling was a little rough for me. But boy, howdy, I was very disappointed, Miles, in Toy Oga. I was hoping that they would be able to pseudomate another monster and actually have some kind of cheesy battles between them, but was not the case. And that, you know, Oga is a cool design. If you look, like I said, the SRS cinema has a pretty good poster made for the film, like a Matt Frank style art poster. What about you for the technical aspect of the movie?
Where do you see this? I didn't hit as hard as you did. I was actually initially going to do it a little bit higher, but I think I'm going to stay right at a 5 because I do like the cast a lot for the most part. Like, I think that carries this movie to at least being watchable, especially the actor that plays Kido. Like, I mean, that dude is great and makes the movie actively enjoyable to watch at times. And so I absolutely have to give the cast all of the credit. Yeah, Makota, I think, is fantastic. And I think a lot of the kind of smaller cast like did some good stuff. There's obviously some people who like were just either family or friends or yanked off the street, one of the two. But the major players, I think, are pretty solid. And yeah, I at least want to give them at least enough love to keep this one afloat. So I'm going to stick with a 5.
Yeah, that's the thing. None of the acting I was really disappointed with. I think the previous movie, it did seem more like a, we have a week to film. Let's have some fun.
Yes. Everything else about this movie. Well, I mean, yes, I totally get your 4 and I don't really push back against it, but I really, really want to highlight how much fun those actors were.
Yeah. I think, like I said, I think you cut down a bit of this film and leave it a bit shorter on the kaiju battles, which is hilarious to say, but this probably would have done a bit better. For its importance as a piece of kaiju art, I feel like the series is very important, but those first two movies, probably all you need to watch. You know, if you're going to watch any Shinpei Hayashiya, this one is pretty skippable, I guess. I think it is remarkable that the first two were made and put together, these Kadokawa produced films. You know, this one had a very limited like film event release in 2019 and basically went straight to DVD with SRS. SRS is one of my favorite companies just because they are willing to put money into productions that no one has heard of, and maybe no one should have heard of, but it is, I mean, I don't think they're doing bad with that, and getting these kind of films in a watchable state to where they can go on to Tubi and things like that is doing a lot for the kaiju community. So good or bad, I'm happy that this movie exists, and on our scale, I'm giving it a 5 out of 10, which, you know, doesn't sound remarkable, but for a grading system, that is, well, I guess 4 and below is what I would say, like, ooh, that's real, real bad. And 5 is right there in the middle. What about you, Miles? Are you sticking with all 5s?
We are aligned once again. There is a clear love of kaiju cinema here. And while it doesn't really add anything, I do respect that independent spirit. I do want to encourage that independent spirit because sometimes you get, well, cheap, bad movies. That's okay. Like that's part of it. We are fans of a subgenre that has often been robbed of any special budget. And it's often done by creative filmmakers and creative designers and special effects artists and animators and, you know, puppet designers and suit actors who have done what they can as best as they can. And I think you also have to point out that even when it doesn't work, like it doesn't in this movie, you still have to, I think, give a little credit where credit's due. And any independent filmmaker that doesn't make Queen Kong, I think should be lauded for getting their movie out. And I'm not even like, you know, being silly about it other than, yeah, don't make Queen Kong. I do think it's awesome that it's clear that he's putting out the movies that he wants to put out. And more power to you, buddy. It's not for me, and that's okay. And maybe it's not for other people. I've seen other reactions to these movies. It's not. But hey, if you are continuing to put out movies that make you happy and it's what you want to do as an artist, that's awesome. They're not movies that I would recommend to folks. But at the same time, I think it is still awesome that there is independent artists out there making kaiju cinema to at least, you know, attempt to showcase that you don't always need to have a $200 million budget to make a kaiju film. And that's cool.
Yeah. And I'm happy that this is making for our scoring basically a better score than almost every single Asylum film, which are pretty much fours across the board. But yeah, that gives us both a 5 out of 10 for, oh boy, God Rega versus King Oga, War of the Monsters. Long title. And yeah, the podcast final, of course, a 5 out of 10. You can chat with us, perhaps yell at us on social medias at Kaiju versus History, or email us at Kaiju versus History at Gmail. If you spent 84 minutes watching this movie and you want that time back, we can't give it to you, but we can listen to your complaints. Wherever you find this podcast, if you want to rate or review us, or find us on the Cosmic Crit Discord channel to chat up with fellow fans of this podcast, but also just kaiju in general. Nothing going on there except that news that we mentioned earlier of the next Godzilla movie filming, which is very exciting. I think filming in Hawaii first, or Honolulu.
Sounds and then about
we,
right.
We did get an announcement of Godzilla kills the Marvel Universe, or whatever the next comic book project is going to be.
Yeah, there's a number of projects that are coming out this year from Marvel in conjunction, I think, with, I guess, Toho, where you're going to get a lot of one shots, I think, you know, Godzilla versus Hulk, Godzilla versus Spider-Man, Godzilla versus X-Men. Mm. And then there's going to be a 5-issue miniseries, Godzilla Destroys the Marvel Universe. There has been, yeah, there's been a couple things. You know, we've gotten the announcement that we're getting a Gamera prequel for the Netflix series. And
comic book version, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, and we're also getting some sort of Digimon Godzilla crossover.
Finally, they've read all my emails.
Why not? And there was this fun little meeting between Takashi Yamazaki and Bong Joon-ho where they both said we should make a monster movie together, which I was like, yes, please. It does not have to be Godzilla. Just make anything together because those two creators, oh boy.
Yeah, special effects of one and story of the other. Yeah, I'm down. All right. So what are we following up? How can we do something to follow up God Rega versus King Oga, War of the Monsters, Miles? What's after this?
Well, thank you, Patrick. Thank you, listeners. And we're going to catch you next time when we look at a film nearly 65 years in the making, a culmination of the Godzilla community and ingenuity mixed with Hollywood production and kind of the Avengers of kaiju films to a degree. So come back next week for a celebration of all things Big G, and join us for History versus Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Bum, 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 bum.